Previously on the Atypical Sports Show.
Spring love.
Yeah.
Dude, that one goes out to my boy LB, dude, and the Jerry Curl.
You just gave that song a shout out to a dude with a Jerry Curl called Spring Love.
No, because the reason why I give a shout out Spring Love is because LB back in the day in 1985 had a red truck. And LB used to run around town in his red truck bumping Stevie B. And LB's light skin with a Jerry Curl. So we would all be like, there's Stevie B. Spring Love talks about because he looked like Stevie B.
So
I had to clear that up.
If I knew this brother that used to have a Nissan truck that used to drive around bumping Michelle Lee, something in my heart.
Dude, did you say Michelle Lee?
Michelle Lee.
Your enunciation skills.
Michelle Lee. I'm not gonna give him dedication to this song. Spring Love, that's why we out on Spring Love. Play that, Mike.
I love that.
Hey. You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Sports Radio Show.
Atypical.
Okay, let's just explain why that is so weird.
They speak very fast and very loud.
Welcome to the Atypical Sports Show with your host, Rob McKee. Atypical Sports Show brought to you by Vima. Thank you very much for listening to the show. What is up, my brother Keith?
What is up, my brother to the east, my brother to the east, my brother to the east? X-Clan, man.
What's up, man?
Dude, whatever happened to X-Clan?
Dude, I ain't heard from them in many,
it
many
was,
moons.
It was Professor X and Brother J. Was that his name?
I couldn't even tell you. I honestly couldn't even tell you, man. I haven't heard X-Clan since X-Men.
Dude, X-Clan had beats.
Because it was all Roger and Zap.
Exactly. It was East Coast. That's all it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. East Coast brothers doing West Coast beats.
Yeah.
And so it made you like, oh, like them.
That's just like Los Angeles Lakers.
What the bad thing about them, like everybody tried to put it down because they was dating all white women.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, that? Yeah.
Like, X-Clan.
Yeah.
When they sell us, we talk about the peace.
Caveman.
And they got a white girl with them and stuff. They all mad. Everybody, and I swore that that's what ended their career because I never heard from them after I heard that rumor.
No, they was just very militant.
Man, glorious.
They was just, okay, just to put some history on that, it wasn't about them talking about peace or whatever. It was just that they were very, very militant. Very, very militant.
Very African.
Very Afrocentric.
I wouldn't even say they were militant, dog. They were always talking about Africa. They weren't militant. They were just like, vainglorious.
So Public Enemy was militant.
That was militant.
They were peaceful Africans.
They were peaceful. They were just talking about, and the mothers protected by the red.
The black and the green.
Dude, that was beat, dude. So like, they was cool little brothers, man.
But you broke it down, man. They just basically stole Zapp and Roger. But you know who else stole Zapp and Roger beats? EPMD.
Oh, yeah.
But they had a more, I don't know how they East Coasted it so more. They more East Coasted it. It's kind of like the LA Lakers.
They
basically play Euro ball, but they NBA'd it. The reason why I say that is because Paul Gasol is realistically the prototype European type center. Like if you think of Euro ball or international or Olympic ball, what he can do with the ball as a big man, 7-footer. If I could pick any big man and play in those type of situations, I think I'd pick Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
Who would I surround around him? That made sense. I had to slow myself down. Who would I surround around him?
You're saying it twice.
No, surround around him. Who would I surround him? Who would I surround him with?
There you go.
Or who would I put around him?
Okay.
I don't know. Who would you put around him? If you was going to like have a league, a super team. Like a matter of fact, let's say it was like, remember Space Jam came down? Space Jam and the Aliens came down right now.
Uh-huh.
You could pick 5 players from any team, any league that's playing today that's obviously in shape. I don't know Michael Jordan's, you know. What 5 players would you play, would you pick right now to play those Space Jam Aliens?
Point guard.
I like this topic. This is a freestyle topic, too. We ain't even talked about this.
Point guard, I would probably.
All from X-Clan.
Point from X-Clan to the monsters in Space Jam. Sissy. I would probably do point guard would be Chris Peasy, 2 guard Kobe, 3 guard. No, I'm sorry. Point guard Dwayne Wade, 2 guard Kobe, 3 man LeBron, 4 man Dwight Howard, and 5 man Shaq.
You still put Shaq in there?
Man, I still put Shaq in there. Shaq will scare an alien. Okay. Even aliens ain't seen a 7-foot, 355-pound brother.
I'm kind of disappointed you weren't as diverse. You picked all African-American males. You didn't have Yao Ming. You didn't have any type of players from South America. You didn't have the European Paul Gasol. and maybe you don't have to, but I was thinking we were being more global. It was like the global Olympics.
Well, I didn't get that disclaimer. That pick.
I'm just disappointed. Well,
don't be disappointed in me, man. Yeah. I mean, ask me to pick my all European team.
I liked how you left Chris. I like how Chris Paul thought he was on your team.
Yeah,
and then you took him out.
He's the first one off the
bench. He's disappointed too.
No, he's gonna be all right. He don't want to play them aliens.
Yeah,
who's your five dudes to go against the aliens?
My five dudes going against the aliens, man. Dude, man, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't come up with this topic. We just came up with this topic out the clear blue sky. So
but you had time to think, though. You had
because I was listening to you. Okay, that's listening to you because I can repeat yours. You want me to repeat yours?
No. I
want
to hear yours.
Okay, mine definitely.
You're thinking too much.
Mine definitely would be LeBron. I'll put LeBron. I'm just gonna go with people I know that's gonna be on the team. LeBron's gonna be on the three. Okay, who's gonna LeBron be with? I think for some weird reason, man, I think I'm gonna put Rajon Rondo.
Okay,
just because he's gonna do what he needs to do. Obviously, that's kind of a clue of what I want to talk about later. I'm loving on Rajon Rondo because I think he's going to lead these Boston Celtics into a very competitive series against LeBron. So obviously, I got those two players, and I'm focusing on a preview of what I think the Eastern Conference Finals are going to be.
So just to interrupt real quick, last show there was a discrepancy. I stated that I shouted out a song to my boy, and it was Spring Love by Stevie B. And there were some misconceptions maybe thrown out there, but never heard a dude say, I'm loving on another dude. The quote was, I'm loving on Rajon Rondo. I've never heard a brother say that before in my life. I've never heard Keith say, I'm loving on about. I ain't never even heard you say, okay. I'm loving on Michael Jordan.
You know, that right there is the problem with society, but you naturally would hear me say, hate on somebody.
Right, right.
But when somebody says, I'm doing the opposite of that, they can't. Yeah. I'm loving on them, rubbing
on
them.
You didn't even want to say, he said opposite of that. You didn't even want to repeat it again.
I couldn't even repeat it again.
He felt violated.
I couldn't even repeat it on that.
But I'll say, opposite of hating.
but on the opposite of hating, I'm loving on Rajon Rondo. I got to put my number one. Hey, I got to put Kobe in the mix. There's no way I can leave them out. That would be irresponsible.
Oh my god!
Even though you know I wanted to.
Oh my god! I can't believe you put him on there. When you put Rajon Rondo, I thought all bets are off.
Yeah, no, it's going Rajon Rondo.
I'm loving on Rajon Rondo.
Kobe, but see, Kobe's mental, man. He's going. No. Kobe did well in the Olympics. I forgot about that.
Did well, dude. He won the Olympics for us.
When I mean doing well, I mean his attitude.
Oh yeah.
No, physically, he always does well.
But he won them Olympics. For
I
us.
Know. I know. When I say does well, sick. it's like you ever had a crazy cousin and he went over from like Thanksgiving house and he did good. He did good because he didn't act a fool. That's how I kind of treat Kobe, like in international stages.
Oh, okay. So you think he's gonna act buck wild out there, and he surprised you by not doing that?
He did, man, and maybe because he was in China where they showed him.
No, man, he
love.
Was with superstar players who were on his level, man.
But they showed him love in China. It don't hurt that he walks in the stadium and he was the number one star in the world in China's world. Regardless,
LeBron was up there too. But
no, dude, you remember, man.
I know.
No, you remember. Yeah. Like he like built courts in China.
Yeah, they love him there.
So I got Rajon Rondo, Kobe. I got LeBron James. I got Paul Gasol because I like his style. I brought Gasol going to play the four. And matter of fact, I kind of want a twin Gasol. I think I'm going to want Kevin Garnett in there.
All right.
Because basically, I got two Lakers, two Celtics. They kind of have their own team thing going on, and LeBron right in the middle.
Okay.
But so
will your team beat my team?
Oh, I don't know. This is all fantasy. This is my team.
Would your team beat my team?
It depends on Shaq. It really does. Depends on if Shaq can play, you know, more than 30 minutes or if he gets in foul trouble.
Who's gonna stick Dwayne Wade?
Kobe.
Who's going to stick LeBron?
Oh, man. Your team is sick, man. Your team is sick. But I don't know if Dwayne Wade could really satisfy playing point guard the whole game.
Oh, Dwayne Wade bring the court. What are you talking about? You watch any Miami game? Dwayne Wade tells Chalmers, give me the ball. He take the ball up the court, man. He just isolate, man. He break it down.
He takes the ball up the court to take the ball to the rim. Like I said, I don't think he can play point guard where you distribute the rock. That's what I mean.
Do you mean like he don't think he can physically have the ability to play point guard and distribute the ball?
No, I don't think he's a distributor. I think he's a scorer first.
Right, but you don't think in a scenario like that he would be able to distribute the ball?
I don't think it'll come natural to him.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No, I think, yeah, to answer your question, I think he can learn to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but luckily we're not talking about Dwayne Wade on Sunday because I think these game sevens that are coming up, are going to be great. Which one are you most excited to watch? Or would you rather watch the matchup between me and our alien pre-match?
Before no, I'd
the
rather aliens. Watch our game sevens, honestly. But I,
over
I,
the, over watching the aliens?
Yeah, yeah. Because this
the
is
aliens might come out with the, game.
No,
though.
No, no. I think this is just so real right here. This is there's a lot of venom in both of these series. I would say that I would rather watch. I already think the Lakers are going to beat them really bad, but I think Orlando's going to be close to Celtics. So I'd rather watch that Orlando Celtics game. That's the one.
Oh, so we had a little preview of what's going to happen. So you already basically told me Boston is going to beat Orlando, but it's going to be close.
It's going to be close.
Okay, that was great. How I got like we can wrap your previews up in like two sentences.
Nice.
I know how to do this now.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Basically, can I just rephrase what Rob is going to say in our preview session, and then I'll go absolutely opposite. So Rob thinks Boston is going to beat Orlando out in a squeaker.
Yes.
Okay. I think Boston's going to blow them out. No, Boston's going to beat them the same way they beat Chicago. It's going to be close, but they're going to win by 10.
Okay, so where is the difference? So what is your opposite of me?
I was just lying. No, oh, I know. Okay. No, okay. No, they're going to win. But I think if you don't watch the game and you watch the score, you're going to think Boston blew them out. But I think Orlando's going to play tough for the first 42 minutes of the game. The L.A. Lakers and the
Houston Rockets.
And the Ron Artest and Aaron Brooks. They should be all basically the Houston Brooks and Scholas, man. Did you see Scola?
Scola's a baller.
Thursday? Yesterday?
Yeah. Scola's a baller. That team right there, I just don't trust Aaron Brooks on the road in a game seven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't think he cares. Like I told, remember I had that show where he was like, he has no fear where he just shoots and like
you just
I don't
think he had no fear because he wore a bow tie, a red bow tie and a red coat. So he's like, oh man, he ain't scared of nothing.
He ain't afraid.
He ain't afraid of nothing.
Well, he's not afraid of any of their guards.
No, he's not. Jordan Farmar, seen him. No, he's not scared of it. And that's what the difference is. He's not scared, but game seven, they ain't winning in LA, man. He'll go opposite of me.
Oh
no, you're not going opposite, are you?
No, I think Houston's going to win.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I think Houston's going to win, man. I hope Houston wins. There's no way. Just like how at the end of it, I don't want to be wrong, but I might as well just, if I think it's that close, I'm just going to go with Houston.
You might as well do it. Seriously, because either way, you're going to feel good.
Yeah, just like I did with Chicago, like in the back of my mind. Yeah, I thought Chicago would probably, lose in game seven in Boston Garden, but it was going to be close. I might as well go with Chicago.
You might as well.
And
this is a situation for you. If they lose, you're like, yeah, Kobe lost. And if they win, you'd be like, shoot, I told you.
Yeah. Like I said, we've always said this. We've always talked about this on air, off air, between air, whatever, that in theory, I want LeBron to beat the Celtics and the Lakers, and then there will be no question about this championship if he wins in 2009.
Right. He beats both.
The only question he'll have is about their commercials with the puppets.
Well, yeah, I get to that. But like you're saying, that will be a legitimate beating, the two-storied franchise. That's just like icing on the cake for LeBron.
That'll be just like when Jordan beat the Pistons to beat the Lakers.
Right, because those were the two dominant franchises.
Dominant personalities. Only thing that he'll have a little chink in his armor would be because Garnett's not going to be in the game.
Right, but still.
He
beating the Celtics and the Lakers. And that's why I look back at the teams that I don't think are going to have an opportunity to win it, such as Orlando Magic. To me, Orlando Magic, they are a better – they have more talent than the Celtics.
They do, yeah.
And they're not only that, but just their athletic – just Dwight Howard, I feel him like – okay, so my theory about Dwight Howard is, like, when you got a guy who goes from high school to the pros who's never experienced any type of adversity, that's when, As a big man, too. And you're used to getting calls, and you're paying bigger guys.
And taller.
I'm stronger. I'm getting these calls. And you don't have that. See, this is when you crumble. I mean, how many guys – have you ever heard of any superstar that – name me one superstar in history who has ever said – man, my coach didn't call good plays. You know what I mean? And if my coach would have, called good plays in this, we wouldn't have been in a situation. I've never heard any
superstar in basketball.
In the playoffs ever question their coach. So to me, he lacks maturity. And that maturity is what comes through when the times are hard and when you have, adversity. So, he this is not his year to win it. That's what I mean. If I didn't hear those quotes, I'd be like, maybe Orlando has a job. Chance.
So many assists you thrown right there, because there were so many topics I want to tag along on. I think the first one, we were talking about Boston. I mean, Orlando having more talent than Boston, where I don't even understand how Boston is good right now. I don't even understand how without Garnett they finish the season 16-3 or something crazy like that. I look at their roster and I see Perkins and I see Big Baby Davis, and I'm thinking, and then I see Paul Pierce and I see Ray Allen, because then I start thinking about Paul Pierce and Ray Allen's teams 5 years ago, where when they had teams and by themselves, they weren't good teams. They were barely playoff teams. So is the difference Rondo?
No, the difference is
Rondo. Or is it Doc Rivers?
No, it's not either of those. But it's probably a little bit of both of those. Yeah. But the difference to me is it's very established. If you look throughout all the teams that have won, what is the constant that everybody has? Is a role that's defined, and they do what they do well. And that's what I was one of the points that even segues right into the other point I wanted to talk about, is that Stephon Marbury, the reason why he's doing well is because his only job here is to come off and be an offensive start, an offensive person who gives points. They're slow and they're not scoring. His job is to go out there and shoot. In New York and all that stuff, they wanted him to do everything. They want to shoot, assist, you know, play a little defense, and then they would all be disappointed with him. It's their fault they paid him that much. If you do what you do well and you don't worry about anything and you're actually put in a position where you do well, Kendrick Perkins, what does he do? Defense and rebounds. Big Baby Davis, hit that 15-footer, Big Baby. That's all we ask you to do. Rondo, man, just control the game and do whatever you got, rebounds. So, like, these guys know their roles. That's why Boston Celtics, name me Courtney Lee's role. What's he doing?
That's it.
What is Rashard Lewis doing?
That's it. They know their roles.
Turkoglu's all messed up. He doesn't, if anything, just shoot 1,000 threes. He's off, man. He's taking crazy shots.
I think we can end this subject. I think we can end this topic right now, basically stating that teams that win in basketball are teams that know their roles. How do you establish those roles? There's a thousand different ways how that can happen.
Yeah, definitely.
In history. Definitely. I mean, in history, it was a player that did this, a situation that did this, something where they had to overcome adversity and they became close as a team. And then because of that, they knew they had to win. So right now, I think the greatest question out of these teams that are left, which team knows their roles the best? And let's go back to the West Coast with that same topic.
I'll tell you,
Houston knows their roles more than the people in LA know their roles.
Right, but LA got more talent to override that knowing roles. That's the whole thing.
Hopefully,
they do. They do. Just to a man. I mean, if Houston had two more guys like they got, you know, maybe. But they're just shorthanded. I mean, to a man, they don't have the dudes yet. But sometimes that happens where talent overrides that. You know, and talent overrode that. So they'll beat Houston because they just have more talent. And then Houston's going, Ron Artest is going, and your best player, and it don't help that your best player on the other team is your most mentally shaky person. So that's the dude you got to take after anyway.
There are some things that you might not have noticed. As a matter of fact, you wanted to bring that subject that we can use it as a new segment.
What's up?
Things you didn't notice. I know you didn't see that. But did you see the game on yesterday, last night, when Shannon Brown, man, he's got a lot of confidence for coming in this league. I saw him in the huddle hyping somebody up, and Trevor Ariza just looked at him like, if you don't just shut up. That whole team, obviously there's a leader. We know who the leader is, and it's Phil Jackson. But on the court, it's Kobe. But there's almost a beef between them. I can't wait to watch this show tomorrow. Kobe doing work.
Right.
I don't know if the show is, I'm going to watch it as a documentary, or if I can just dissect it and be like, they're showing us opposite of what they really are. I can't take this show as a real documentary, because when I watch the Lakers, I see a lot of guys rolling their eyes, looking like they tired of hearing stuff. That's the biggest, and hopefully the only thing that can save them, as you said, Rob, is their talent will overcome all this.
And if they can get through, see, here's the whole deal. If they can get through this Houston series, there's not another defensive matchup that'll hold Kobe and make Kobe work as hard as these guys did
with Artest and Battier. They don't care.
Now everybody else he'll face, Carmelo can't do that. He can get in Carmelo's head. Carmelo can't hold him. And do you notice this is one of the things you might notice. Do you notice every jumper Kobe takes that Battier perfectly puts his hand right there in front of his eye?
Yeah, and you know who taught him that, though, right?
Probably your uncle Coach
yeah,
KK.
Yeah, Coach KK.
No, but let me tell you something though, bro. Like, that's what's amazing about that, the way Kobe be hitting these jumpers. I mean, he puts it in his eye face every time. He's shooting. Can you shoot with a hand in your face, literally a hand 3-4 inches from your face?
No, you won't shoot as accurately as you would free, but you know exactly where to put that hand. I mean, that's why I love basketball, because people underestimate the size and skill of, I'm going to put my hand to this man's face as fast as possible without putting it to his face. I'm a 6'8", agile human being who can run as fast as possible, stop in front of this man, time him jumping, and put my hand in his face. And what does that make me? That makes me a candidate of Defensive Player of the Year. That's what Battier becomes. You know what I'm saying? When you have that type of mental discipline where, you know what? I know my role. I can shoot 10 times a game.
Right.
I won't shoot more than 12 or 13. Right. Let me shoot my 10 times a game. Good game, I'll get 15, 16. But you know what I'm going to do every time I'm on the other side of that half court line and that basket is on behind my back? I'm going to put my hand in this person's face. I'm going to interrupt passing lanes. I'm going to block people out. That's what I understand. Can we turn this into a grassroots segment where you can talk to the kids who wants to play basketball and you tell them, if you understand how to do two or three things great in any sport, and you focus on that?
Yeah, that's all you got to do. I tell
and especially basketball.
Especially basketball.
Because in baseball, there's a lot of things. Baseball, you play defense and offense. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't. If you can be the greatest center fielder in the world, but if you have no stick, you ain't getting no sniff.
You ain't getting no sniff, but you will be on a roster.
Well, I think a roster is better than a sniff, Rob.
Huh?
I think being on a roster is better than getting a sniff.
Oh, I think you've been a sniff of playing time.
Oh yeah. No. I'm saying basically a sniff of like of making lead. It to the to. You
oh
know,
yeah, definitely.
Increasing
definitely.
Whatever.
Yeah, definitely, man. You got to do what you do. I mean, if you just focus on one thing, because everything, if you look at it, there's no different than parallel in life. Everything is connected. So if you look at it that way, how many people are lawyers? They don't know how to do anything else but just do law. They just focus on that one thing. You find your niche.
But they can't turn on the water faucet out at the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
But but people focus on that one thing. That's all they do. You know, and that creates success if you really focus on it. If that really creates success. So Kobe, these guys we talk about, like Kobe and Jordan, Tiger, they got a couple mixes. You know, like A-Rod. A-Rod had the... People was hating on A-Rod originally because he was good looking, talented. Yeah. And, you know, he was everything. You know, I mean, a lot of guys don't have that. You know, a lot of people just have the one thing, because there's all that baller basketball player who's ugly. You know, like, you can't have it all, bro. You know, like Moses.
I think that's a good question.
Like Moses Curry.
Who's the ugliest? Okay, you know what? Larry Bird wins. So that's why I hate when
Larry Bird is not the ugliest.
No, the best player, though. I mean, like, the ugliest best Hall of Famer. Like, the ugliest top 12 player. Like you know what I'm saying? Ugliest great. Like Biggie Smalls.
What about, Robert Parrish?
I don't think he's a great, though. I'm saying out of the greats. Robert Parrish wasn't a superstar. You know what I'm saying? Robert Parrish, right. There obviously was a reason why he wasn't a superstar, maybe because of that, but then there were still people that were superstars.
Okay.
You're right. You look at all the superstars, there's a reason why they're superstars. No, Karl Malone could, no, come on now.
Karl Malone could pull.
yeah, Karl Malone, he could pull Nancy Reagan right now. I can't believe you said it. As a matter of fact, man, don't think because it's your birthday tomorrow, you can just sit up here and talk. Matter of fact, man, let's give props out. Oh, confetti, blow out the candles. Go.
Play the back version because this is our show.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Mike, happy birthday, man. Hey, get on the mic, dude. Seriously, because you know why?
What's up, dude?
You know why you can't get on the mic? You need to get on the mic right now?
Why is that?
Because it's your only day to shine. You know,
shine every day, dude.
No, this is your only day to shine on the microphone. We ain't letting you have a mic no more. You need to treat this like George Bush and his last year of his last term where they raise up the gas prices.
All right,
so he can get all that money. All
right, I give up then. I think that's what he did his last time, last year of his presidency.
No.
I give up.
He raised the gas prices up the last little time so they can make that money. What are you going to do?
I'm going to
change the show, man. What's the next topic we need to talk about? Should we go to break? What should we do?
We can keep going on talking about me. I mean, I'm never going to object to that.
What do you have to do about sports?
I'm turning 16.
Oh,
I get my license tomorrow. which is weird because I've been driving for about 16 years too, and they haven't even stopped me, which means basically I've been driving since birth.
32, huh?
31.
Wow.
So yeah, 15 years. Good call. Thanks for calling me.
Well, I don't know. You might have been in those like those backwoods where they used to let you drive tractors. You can have a tractor ID, like in Iowa and in Illinois.
I am from Indiana.
And you can have a tractor ID at 14. So I, you know, you never know.
The only crops that never mind.
Dude, yeah. No, seriously, Mike, can you bring up a topic, a sports topic that you want?
Because
I know you sent
farming.
You sent in that email where we read it. Rob read it. I don't know why he read your email, but go ahead and send in the email that you want us to talk about because it's your day.
I mean, obviously, Chicago top of mind is about how the Cubs are pretty much on track to keep our hopes up until about mid-August right now. Before we would have been done, I would have already thrown in the towel. But they're not playing too bad.
Cubs are looking good, man.
Compare them to the rest of the teams in the league right now.
Yeah, no, Cubs are looking good. Rob, are you me and Mike time to shine? Because you know whose birthday it is next week, right?
I think it's somebody else in this room, man.
Yeah, someone else in this room.
Yeah.
I think it's the other guy. Is it the other guy talking?
It's your boy right here, Keith Holmes' birthday. You know.
22, huh?
Yeah, I put it to you like this. I've been driving for 20 years. So do the math. So anyways, we'll talk about our Cubs.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah, whatever.
No, but dude, Cubs.
No, Cubs all day, every day, man.
Cub. For real, though? Like, how long do you think they're going to keep our hopes up for? You think they're going to keep our hopes up?
Oh, we definitely going to September. Don't get it twisted.
You think they're
going
to keep our hopes up till September?
Dude, we're going to the post. We're going to the post, to the postseason, dude.
Ooh, I'm going to end it on that. Going to the postseason. You heard it here first.
No, we heard it here everywhere. If anybody doesn't pick the Cubs, you're crazy. Even Rob had enough sense to pick the Cubs in his preseason.
That's great to know that you guys are setting your hopes pretty high, saying you're going to the postseason. We'd aim for the stars, guys. Good job.
Yeah. I had to bring him up, though. He was like, can we go? Can we think about this after the All-Star game? I couldn't just go to World Series. He about to collapse on his birthday.
He just and that shows you a Cubs fan. He just wanted to be entertained till September. He's like, can they just keep my hopes up till September? I mean, that's a low expectations right there, man.
That's realistic expectations.
Well, hopefully your team can make yourself entertained until when?
I would
June, say, hopefully. Can you win a game?
I would say I'll be entertained with Seattle until mid-August.
You're crazy, dude.
Mid-August. No, dude, seriously. I'd say we get entertained with Seattle until mid-August.
You know they've been like they're 1-9 their last 10 games?
I'm not worried about that, though.
I just didn't know if you knew that.
I knew that.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a long baseball season. You know, it's like 120 games out there.
I think they finally found their niche.
They found their niche.
I think they were like overachieving, and it's like, you know what? We need to just be the beat up team for the rest of these AL West teams.
No, we're gonna be all right though. We'll bounce back a little bit. I'll still be entertained until mid August. That's all I gotta say. Even if I have to pretend like fake my entertainment.
It's a long day of the summers, man. I don't even know what show topics we'll talk. We'll be talking about the Cubs every show if the Seattle don't do anything.
I'm so glad because it'll be the Mike and Key show. That'll be great.
Speaking of Seattle, though. I do want to bring up a little topic.
A little topic?
Yeah, you like when I say, you know, something's little so it doesn't sound big when it overwhelms you.
Okay.
Basically, if your life depended on this situation, somebody put the cuete to your cabeza, had the trigger pulled, and your answer obviously depended on click, click, or you're safe. So the question is, and I know what you're going to say, Ken Griffey Jr., PEDs no or PEDs yes? Performance enhancing drugs no, never, or performance enhancing drugs, he tried it once. If you're wrong, you're gone.
Never.
Now, I'll put it to you like this. You say never. Everybody will say never. But if that chrome was to your dome and you had 10 seconds to think, you would be like, or you would be confident.
Never.
You would be 1,000% confident.
Never.
It's Mike's birthday. What you got to say?
All right. Maybe not performance enhancing drugs, but what about banned substances? There's a difference.
I would have to get the question clarified to state
banned when substances the bus, being banned like as such illicit as. drugs he shouldn't have been smoking or doing. Or no, you think he's been clean his whole career?
I would have to say, if there was some drug that is banned now that wasn't banned back then, it was something like to keep him up, you know, because he was tired and he could play 162 games. And if that's banned now, I would probably have to say maybe he took something like that. But as far as performance enhancing drugs to enhance his performance so he'd hit more home runs, that's not in his DNA, bro.
Fair enough. I'll get you that.
I don't know. If that same chrome was to my dome, I wouldn't say no automatically. I don't think I'd say yes, but I think I'd say yo because the media told me to say no. But I think those 10 seconds that guy was staring at me, my heart would be like this.
Well, I think anytime you have a gun to your head, your heart's going to beat a little faster than normal.
Yeah.
Regardless of the question, is the sky blue? Yes or no? And it's blue, and you're like, you think of it, oh, maybe if I say blue, they're going to really shoot me in the head. So I understand that.
Oh, yeah, obviously, but I think I would really be thinking like, man, this dude might have slipped. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just saying I don't know.
All right, okay, cool. So cool. So well,
the greatest thing about it is we'll never know.
That's the greatest. That's actually the worst thing about it. I'd rather know.
No, I don't want to see your little heart, man. You would be broke. You wouldn't even come out for a show if that happened, dude.
No, I wouldn't be broke down, man. Because let me tell you something, bro. It's not like it's a bad thing. It's not like it's a bad thing that dude's doing steroids. It is what it is. I'm not gonna have any more hate for somebody because they do steroids. I just know glad that my dude did not do it. But it's not like it's an indictment. To me, it's not an indictment on the player. It's the same thing as a human weakness, as guys just trying to be just as good as other guys, feeling like they got to do it. Man, dudes, there's a lot more worse thing than dudes doing steroids out there, man. Everybody talking about this, man, forget that, dude. The guys did steroids. Get over it, man. Stop being crying about
it. What about the integrity of the game?
What about it? I mean, what about it, though? For real, like...
Oh, okay. I don't care. I'm not on that side. I was just realistically... Just rehashing something you said to me.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying to you is like it's not there is an integrity of the game. I don't like it, but I'm not condemned out there condemning these players like they're the worst thing since in the world because they did it. I don't like it, man. The great thing about it, it'll be established as a steroid era. So maybe they'll do it something like with the Hall of Fame where they got the steroid era and they got the guys who were the best in that era doing what they did. So, I mean, there's still an elite group of players who are balling. If everybody's doing steroids, there's still only like three or four guys who are really out there balling. And those same guys, everybody ain't doing it. So, obviously, they're a little bit better. Acknowledge it. I'm cool with that,
there's
man.
There's a couple players that's doing remarkable this year, I think, and every year we had this talk, and I know this is very premature about the Triple Crown, the leader of home runs, batting average, and RBIs. For some of you non-baseball listeners, which I think is the core of our listeners, is probably some of the most enthusiastic basketball and football fans. But for some of you people who may not know, mom, who may not know about baseball, the Triple Crown basically is the person that can lead the league in home runs, RBIs, which is runs batted in, and a batting average. And I think there's two candidates, or there's a candidate in each league, and I'm going to ask Rob who he thinks has a better chance of accomplishing those goals. Longoria's balling. Team's not as doing as well, but I think they're going to catch their way back up. He has a chance. And Pujols always has a chance over there in the National League. Out of those two, who you go with?
I think I'd have to go with...
Or do you have another candidate that I'm overlooking?
I don't have any other candidate. I never really think about Triple Crown because for some reason, it's in the back of my mind, I don't ever think it'll happen. Not even that's too early. I don't even look like it'll ever happen. Because, you know, it's not one of them records that in June they're talking about, man, this dude's leading. They're always leading for like 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden they fall off. Like Albert Pujols, I remember a couple of years ago, led for like a month. Like he was in the top three and all that stuff. But it never lasts too long, man. So like the guys who I think who have the potential physically to do it would be Pujols and Longoria. Mm-hmm. But that's really basically it. You know, it would have been Manny.
It's May too, because Euculus basically batting .390. We know that's not going to stay there.
Right.
You know, and right now we just had the the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks ago. So we always talk about the Triple Crown coming up with that, too. It always comes up around this time because the Triple Crown is like a buzzword. Right. Like, because when you hear the Triple Crown coming up in the when the Preakness is coming up, then you start thinking about who can win a Triple Crown in baseball. Right. So who's your answer between those two? Obviously, we both have our favorites, which is Longoria. Who is Year of the Ox, if y'all didn't know that? If you try to ox me about it, he Year of the Ox, Evan Longoria. That's how we do it.
All right, so I would say I would probably have to lean towards Albert.
Albert, huh? You want to play that same game with him with the Chrome to the Dome with the same game we played with Ken Griffey?
Yeah, can we do that, please?
Okay, let's get it. I'll put it away. Let me pull out the thing again. Okay. What's your answer, boy?
What's the question?
Performance enhancement drugs.
Yes.
Albert. Okay, let's let this take 9.
Yes.
8.
Yes.
7.
Yes. Please hear me. I'm 6. Saying yes. I'm sure about it. Yes. Yes.
You're safe.
I know that.
You're safe on that one. Nah, you know what? Don't listen to me talking about safe. I have no evidence. But I would pick the same answer Rob did.
I would lean towards yes.
I would lean towards yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, man. I mean, yeah, I would lean towards yes. And another thing I would lean towards is this beautiful day. Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey. It's Mike's birthday, man. Dude, man, I feel bad. Not really. You know what, man? I was going to have a spring.
I feel bad, not really.
I feel bad, not really, that we didn't have a cake for Mike. But then if we had a cake for Mike, they might as well just called us Stevie B, the Stevie B 3, Spring Love.
Why not? Why not? Why couldn't we just get a cake for Mike?
We can get him a little cupcake. You know what, man?
That's even,
how about me and you have even, a mic? How about me and you have a cake next week? Both of me and you.
What about he said that I would make him a cupcake? Did you say I make him a cupcake?
I said I'll buy him a cupcake, Hostess cupcake.
edit. Oh, a joint birthday. I get it. Okay, you guys both have your birthday. That's true.
A week apart, but he's a Taurus. I'm a Gemini. So there's a world of difference between those two cats.
Is there really?
Yeah, but we'll talk about that next week.
I don't really see it, though.
You don't see it between me and no, first of all, here's the difference. Mike is Mike. Key is key. Now, right. If you don't see the difference between that, I don't know who you are anymore.
I guess so. Well, coming back from the break, we're going to hit some more topics up. Read a couple emails that we got.
Emails up. Talk about some Mike Tyson drama I read about.
Also, we're going to get Key's going to get us caught up on some twits that he's very interested in, so that he wants to share with you guys from Jalen Rose. So come back and join us. Atypical Sports Show. Holla. Whose world is this? It's mine. Whose world is this?
It's yours. Robin Key will be right back with more of the Atypical Sports Show.
It's mine. Whose world is this?
What if you could get the benefits of a vitamin without the pills and feel the difference? Vima is that vitamin. Vima is a liquid multivitamin that creates abundant energy, shortens recovery time from workouts, and boosts your immune system. To order Vima or for more information, log on to www.vimaathletes.com. That's www.vimaathletes.com.
You're listening to the Atypical Sports Show.
Welcome back to the Atypical Sports Show, brought to you by Vima, the world's most powerful liquid antioxidant. And yo, Key, before the break, we was talking about a couple crazy things about sports. We was all over the board, but it was a beautiful thing.
It really wasn't, man. We talked about two things. We talked about the playoffs, and we talked about baseball. But we did branch out.
A lot of subjects.
Yeah. You know what, man? Let's get real educational right now. I think right now what we need to do is bring
a
word of the day.
Yes.
And then talk about graduating on that level. So we got to get our graduation, get our tassels on, brother. Word of the day.
Word.
Love it. Do you want to read the word of the day today? I think that'll be a clever little birthday little treat for us.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see, because obviously I'm not the best reader.
No, so, you're a good reader. You're just not a good pronunciator.
That's the same thing.
Okay.
You know, you ready, Mike? Check it out, man. So you know how to do it. You listen to it more than I say it, so.
The word is, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? Is that Greek?
I mean, come on.
Or, come on.
Maybe is this that, isn't really Key's fault for the mispronunciation all the time, but
I here, guarantee you that I could pronounce it the first time right way.
All right, here we go. The word is.
Yeah, let me pronounce it. Let me. I'm tired of these pronouncements.
The word is.
I don't want to look at. I ain't look at folded, man. I want to. No, I don't want to hear. I want to pronounce this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to pronounce.
I bet I can pronounce it right now without it being in front of my face.
Oh, it is. All right.
Can I do it without it being in front of my face?
Go ahead.
The word is unctuous. Unctuous.
Is the spelling U N C T U O U S?
Look at this guy. Look at this guy.
Ding. Unctuous. I would say unctuous is, definition of unctuous would be to be like, oh gosh, I don't want to say like you're very persistent in a hurry. You're like that's how I say it. It's like you're very aggressive, for the lack of a better word. I would say aggressive. Go-getter, like.
All right. For example, he approached Sean wearing a smile so unctuous it seemed about to slide right off of his face.
Oh, so he was... It's a smile so unctuous that it seemed like the smile would fall right off his face.
It could have something to do with the meal we just ate.
Give me another reading of it, please. Give me another sentence.
Okay. Another sentence you want?
Yes.
She recalled being offended by the phoniness that stemmed from the contradiction between her mother's charming, even unctuous public manner and her anger in private.
I would say unctuous would be if charming, unctuous manner.
Come on, Rob. I have faith in you.
I don't
you,
know, man. I'm really thrown off. I need to hear that again.
I like the word. Do you want to read the definition, Mike?
Let him read it again.
How about you want another sentence?
Yes.
A warmed, crusty French roll arrives in split, lightly smeared with unctuous chopped liver.
Okay, see, that's where we got to stop right there, because there's three different definitions of it. I think the most widely used one is the first two we said. The one that I'll give you is the one that he just basically made the example of. Unctuous meaning greasy, fatty, or oily.
Okay.
But I think the other two, you want me to show you the definition?
Yes.
Okay. Insincerely or excessively suave or ingratiating in manner or speech, marked by false or smug earnestness or agreeableness. Agreeableness. Agreeableness.
So is it kind of like you're being sarcastic?
That's what it is. I don't even know what to say.
I think last show you called me unctuous.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't like. Unctuous. You felt that I was being unctuous.
Unctuous, like it's the phony.
That's my forte, though. I like being unctuous.
Very unctuous, and it's so funny about these words of the days. It seems like I search for them, one click, print, boom. It's the word of the day from dictionary.com, and
it happened to apply again.
Happened to apply.
That's life.
That's life. It's a beautiful thing, baby. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
So unctuous is the word of the day.
Word. And I feel very ununctuous.
You know, okay, let me tell you something. Rule number one when you're trying
to repeat the word. That was ununctuous.
When you're trying to repeat the word, you cannot put un in front of it and say that you're using the word correctly.
Well, that's if I wanted to talk about the anti of it, if I wanted to be the anti of it.
Unmellifluous.
You were smiling. You feel grateful. And it wasn't unctuous.
So it's ununctuous.
It's anti-unctuous?
It's nega. Hey, what about nega unctuous?
You remember our homeboy Javon? We say, man, that's the unbalm.
That's the unbalm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the unbalm. Something bad happened to you? Oh, that's the unbalm, dog. That's the unbalm, dog.
Yeah, you can't do un is just like, no, you got to use the word in a sentence without saying un. Please use the word in a sentence. So anyway, man, you said you okay. So here's what happened. Here's the evolution of what's been happening with Key. If you guys been listening a couple shows ago, I was like, dude, we need to get on this Twitter, and he was all on this. For what was the game you was on? Sudoku.
I'm still on.
Okay,
that.
So he was on the Sudoku, and I was like, I'm not willing to do the Sudoku. I don't want to do it. But I was always trying to get him to do this Twitter. So now Keek's doing his Twitter, and I have to say,
so you gonna do Sudoku?
So hold on. So I get it that I think Key's finally coming around and he's filling his Twitter. He feeling it. We communicating through Twitter.
You know,
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you. Everybody out there, man, a tip from the hip. Twitter, man, that's the way to go.
I'm feeling the concept of Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't feel that you're doing your best Twittering, tweeting. It's not fun to me when I'm like calling you out on the tweets. And then your response has nothing to do with what I just said. Like, dang, did you even read what I just said? I'm calling you out. Calling out specific situations about your team is whack. Rob, what do you think about you picking Portland? Uh-huh. This and that. Rob, you weak, blah, blah, blah. And then he come back and say, Orlando's playing harder than Boston right now. And I read his tweets and I just want to be like, why am I even on this stupid thing? I just want to talk twit.
I guess I want to just be unctuous. I just want to be just like, you know, just irritating, get under your skin.
It's not even, it's just not fun. It's not like I get mad about it. It's just like, I'm like, dang, this is, it makes me not look at it. It makes me not look at the tweets at all.
You don't even look at my, you know, listen, you've been talking about, let me tell you something, brother. You've been talking about, you like that? I said, let me tell you something, brother. You've been looking at Jamel Horn. Because
that's the only one. That's the only one that's on our whole page. You tweet once a day.
No, I tweet. I've been tweet. Yeah, today I tweeted once. Okay.
And yesterday, would you tweet twice?
I think maybe three.
Okay.
Times
so and guess
lady.
And guess what those tweets are?
What?
I think Boston's going to lose to Orlando. I mean, dude, you're not attacking me. Attack me, dude. Please attack me.
Let me tell you something. What if that's not in my DNA? Like King Griffey Jr., it's not in his DNA to take steroids. What if it's just not in my DNA?
But what if
to
I know that is in your DNA and we talk trash all day every day on text messages?
But I'm better at talking trash on text than I am talking on Twitter. Twitter, I use Twitter.
This is making me very confused, dude. Because I'll let you finish this.
Here's the deal. I talk smack on Twitter when it's really feeling like it's worth talking smack. I like just talking about the games. You know what I'm saying? You verbally attacking me, calling me getting off a ship or something like that. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I said because you were sending all these weird texts. I was like, did the Somali pirates kidnap Rob? Please bring him back because I don't know this man. I called you out about Carmelo. I said, dear Rob, I am a 24-year-old Olympian, NCAA champion, and leading my team in scoring in the 2009 playoffs going to the Western Conference Finals. Sincerely, Carmelo. No response. No response. I know he's been hating on Carmelo. I don't even know if you read the tweets, actually.
I do. You know what? And I got to give you props. No response is respect.
Whatever.
Okay? No, my no response is actually respect.
So I've been
just
murdering you last week. I attack you twice a day on purpose.
And I can feel your attacking.
I was just be like, dear Rob.
Dude, I figured next time it's gonna be just four letter words and say, dear Rob. You. You. I be like, dang, dude. But I like that, but we tweet differently. That's why, dude, why do you think it's good that we are Rob and Key? Why do you think the show works? Because you do what you do well, like we talked in the first segment. You do what you do well. Don't make me try to do what you do well. Sometimes I talk smack. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I respond to what you say, but most of the time I don't. But I like reading your tweets because your tweets are tight. My tweets are tight for what I do.
If you like reading my tweets, at least respond to them.
Okay.
Okay, I don't even know you read them.
Can I just tell you that I like read them and I do read them and I don't have to respond to them no more?
And you might not have to worry about that anymore either. I can tell you that.
We're twaking up. We're twaking up.
It's just not fun to me anymore. If I don't go back and forth,
you know what?
Can you understand that that's just not fun to me?
Key, maybe it's not about you, man.
I know.
Maybe it should be about your co-host who likes Twitter.
But guess what? You don't need me to have fun on tweet.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You can say something about your day.
They're amusing.
No, that's okay.
Your tweets are amusing.
Then can you amuse me with your tweets? Can I ask for that?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to hear something about Boston's winning right now.
Okay.
What?
Come on. Whatever. I will tweet. Okay. So I will tweet at least three times a day. Tweet.
Yeah, do something, man.
I will tweet. And I have
a formal apology to one of the brethren in the sports game, one of the columnists, Bill Simmons. Last show, I said, you know what? Jemele Hill runs the game as far as journalists and columnists who write tweets. And I said, Bill Simmons don't even write tweets. But he's been on his tweet game. Matter of fact, I read about he had it on one of the columns where he flip-flopped the tweets just like I did. Because 2 weeks ago, he was like, I'm not doing Twitter. He did the tweets for the first time where he tweeted during the whole Boston game five. Yeah, game five, and they happened to win that game. And he was like going back and forth, tweeting, talking all this trash about the Kenyon Martin and the Cuban thing. So he's in the game, and I enjoy reading him. I enjoy reading Jemele Hill. I enjoy reading Rob, not so much. And I enjoy reading my own.
What do you got to read for me?
Not so much, I said.
Oh, you mean my tweets?
Yeah.
You know what? I've seen the light right now. I'm going to turn my life around.
Dude, this always happens.
I'm going to get my birdie on.
This always
on.
Happens. You know what this
on.
Is? This is like, man, when we was at Tucson Mall, hey, go get your own.
Right.
This is one of them moments.
It is one of them moments.
We don't have to break that down.
Because I feel like I brought tweet to the world of Atypical, and you trying to disrespect my tweets like my tweets ain't twit.
I disrespect your tweets on the Twitter and be like, man, you a bull Twitter.
Man, that's whack though. So I gotta come with my tweet game.
Yeah.
So my tweet game will be on point. People out there, notice from now on,
Keith a tweet,
will be,
tweet. Yeah.
Keith will be giving me a some tweet, props tweet. On my tweets. So you know what I'm saying.
And you know what? I don't have to give them props. Just read our stuff on our website, on our Twitter page, Fan Interaction. Follow us.
Exactly. You can just follow us, and you can read it from right there too. So we there doing it all for y'all. You know, we doing it all for a while. So I'm looking at it like this, Key. You said you had something else you wanted to bring up.
Oh, one thing I want to talk about, man. And
it was Obama.
I mean, we doing the word of the day is very, we're on cue to be very educational. You know, unctuous is a word we're trying to introduce to the world. And to all the graduates at Arizona State, how lucky must you be? Congratulations. Seriously. To graduate in a year where a lot of changes has happened. You overcame swine flu. You have to be happy about that. And the president of the United States having to speak at your graduation. There's not too many classes that can say that.
And I'm still confused. I guess it doesn't really matter because it's already happened. I don't know how they hooked that up. Why did he come to ASU?
That was his choice.
That's what he chose, huh?
Yeah, it's just political.
I think it's the way to publicly just pimp slap John McCain.
Well, you know what it is.
Like, John, let me tell you something, John. I'm coming to your crib. I'm speaking to your students. How you like me now? Everybody hyped about me right now. Say something.
And that state was closer than most people thought.
Right.
I mean, Arizona had a chance. I mean, obviously, Arizona, John McCain was going to win. But this is basically a 2012 thirsty, I'm still thirsty, hungry move.
But he won't be made. He won't see the demographics changing so much in 4 years. It's going to be rougher for
any Republican.
Yeah.
The problem with the Republicans, you don't even know who that person is. You know the governor of Louisiana.
Bobby Jalvin or Bobby.
Yeah.
He's Middle Eastern or
Indian guy. Yeah, like Indian, like M. Night Shyamalan Indian type guy.
Bobby.
Yeah, but they say he is one of the candidates that can take. The Republicans are so. I don't know what. I don't want to criticize them because maybe it's the move they're making. But, I mean, like, the keynote speaker is black.
Bobby Jahal.
Yeah, and then they got him coming up.
But you can't hate. I mean, it's kind of like you can't hate on it, really, because it's like at least they're doing it. It's kind of like the first black dude, the guy that Branch Rickey might have had Jackie Robinson, and people might say, man, you know, I can't believe he'd be the first one to do it. But he had to do it because talent-wise.
No, but Branch Rickey was sincere. This is the unctuous move by the Republicans.
You know what? It's a move. You know what? It's kind of like one of those things.
Did you hear those horns? Got that horn, baby. Go ahead.
You know, it's a move that I'm not upset about because if it gives somebody else an opportunity, I guess the ends justify the means. That's where I look at it. It might be a little move because they have to do it. At least they're not dumb. They have to do it. If they want to open it up more for everybody and be a open party like that, they got to be towards the middle more. They got to do it, man. So, I mean.
Yeah. No, they don't have to do it. They choose to do it to benefit them. That's the difference.
To get more
votes. I'm recognizing it. Don't have to do it. Stick to your guns. Stick to your roots.
No, but they ain't going to win that way, bro. They want to win. That's winning is the most important thing. You know that. We talk sports here.
Just like Obama didn't have to come to Arizona, but he did it. It's kind of weird. Was that an unctuous move?
No, winning is the most important thing.
Was that an unctuous move? It's like, you know, we're not giving an honorary degree.
I forgot the definition of unctuous again.
It's when you're insincere. Basically, you said sarcastic.
Okay.
Like, you know. Insincere, an excessive suave or a manner of speech, a false smug earnestness.
Okay.
Kind of like how
Dick Cheney's unctuous.
I've never
smug, he just sarcastic, smug.
Yeah,
that's just how, he just reminded me of Uncle.
You seen that movie politics. W?
Yeah,
movie's terrible, but horrible. It was good. It was, I mean, it was like whatever. It was embarrassing.
It was horrible. It's like Selena Roberts' book. It's just like, oh, okay, this is nice little stories put together.
Yeah,
I don't know how much is this true. I don't know who's saying whatever. It's one of those movies that if you're a Democrat, you like it. If you're Republican, you hate it.
No, if you're a Democrat and you like it, you can't like that. That's just irresponsible. That's crazy to like that movie.
But you know what, though? But Democrats will like it, though. That's just how they are. That's what Democrats and Republicans, that's what this is so crazy about ignorance. It's like, I don't ever agree 100% with nobody. Ever.
Ever.
But yet they'll sit there and argue, even though they know don't agree with it. They'll sit there and argue about it, man.
You know, you can flip flop. Like my boy Bill Simmons didn't like Twitter. I didn't like Twitter. I flip flop. We trying to get Mike into it, but Mike's on his own world.
Key. I wish you'd name me Flip Flop. I wouldn't be mine. I wear flip flops in the summer and call me Flip Flop Junior.
So can we call you Flip Flop if Carmelo beats whoever he plays next round? And he stands up.
And he stands up as a man.
Yeah.
And then and he takes responsibility.
Takes responsibility. And he balls, dude. Let's get it down.
Okay, and he balls.
He balls and he's sniffing on playing them aliens
call
in
me,
the alien in the alien
call
Olympics.
Me Aunt Jemima Flip Flop Pancakes.
All right,
flip me, please.
All right,
I will flip flop. In fact, I think I would probably win. I would probably win an elected office if I just ran on the thing that I might flip flop based on information I get. I think I might try that.
We'll try it.
I'll try that. I mean,
hey, were you downtown though? No, speaking of the politics and Obama and all that.
Yeah, I was down in that area. Man.
Can you please explain it to me? I have no concept. I saw it on TV. I saw when he rolled up into the into Sky Harbor and he got out the limo and he just swaggered his way up to Air Force One, saluted, turned around. Peace. And you saw him like, I almost saw him like taking his tie off, like, all right, I'm home, like, and just fell into the like the Air Force One, like, whew,
Did he pop his collar?
No, dude, it was more. It was the way he rolled up, man. It just feels so surreal because for you people who've never been to the Valley, I live in a community about 10 miles dead south of the airport, but I could still feel the vibe when I was watching it on the TV. You know, so I was still feeling the vibe. But you was in the circle. You was in the epicenter. You was at ground zero of our hero. What happened?
Man, it was just so much. Everybody was just so excited. And so funny, they're excited just to see a limo go by at 40 miles per hour. And parents and kids are still waving. It's kind of like.
Where was you at? What corners was you at?
I was on University and Rural.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of like they was talking about in baseball. Like, they're talking about I'm going to draw this parallel. You're going to laugh. They're talking about,
that was unctuous.
They're talking about like stopping handshakes because it don't mean nothing no more in youth sports because it used to be a handshake, then it went to a high five, then it goes to a pound, now it's to knuckles. You know what I mean? And so like back in like 80.
Wow, back, that was great. Yeah, I visualized that. That was good.
Back like 80 years ago, remember everybody waved at the president? 40 years ago, everybody, you know, there was some people waiting the president.
Saluting.
Saluting. Everybody was like, now the limo drive by, everybody just like, nobody waving, nobody doing it. But there's like about a group of about five or
veterans.
Six 45 or 50-year-old women who were waving. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they would do because it kind of just faded out. But, you know, all these college students were like, man, can we hurry up and get this limo going by? But when he went by, everybody, the energy, I was like, he just drove by, you know what I mean? And you can't see inside the vehicle or not. Who knows if that was the right two limos anyway?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it was just interesting to see that
he
was right there.
Do you think he got a stunt double?
Yes.
He got like a dude that looked like him?
Yeah, but he don't sound like him, though.
No, he don't.
But he does look like him, though.
Yeah. But what's the parallel on baseball you had? Oh, the fist pump.
Yeah, yeah.
That
it's
kind of
like
yeah.
how it goes throughout generation, things just change. And like people don't wave at the president no more like they did. Like, bye, Mr. President.
You know what I think the problem was? They was thirsty and hot, first of all.
It wasn't that bad outside, though.
Yeah, but you weren't there for 8 hours,
that's
Rob.
Real, that's real. That's real.
You know, they were in there and they said, you can't bring water in because I don't know when did scientists start thinking that water is actually the detonator of bombs on airplanes and everything else where liquids are actually basically TNT.
They're creating jobs.
Yeah, exactly. You can't bring water into the stadium, 70,000 people.
What about the water inspector, though? That's a job that was created right there by Mr. Obama.
Exactly. But they had water stations, and they had those little pyramid cups. Dixie cups.
Yeah.
That, and it was so funny. I watched in the news. They said the problem was water and price gouging. You know how serious the news is, and they were charging $5.50 for a 20-ounce bottle of water. And then they interview one person, like, with people fanning them and sweating, like, this, I've been out here since 2. I'm about to faint. And I went in there and I tried to get some water. And they had the little Dixie cup and they filled it up and then they poured it in a 20-ounce bottle to show the
amount of water you
get. It was like one sip. And then they just show people, like, animals, like, cutting the bottom off the pyramid and putting it on their water bottles that they find on the ground, and then pour the on the faucet so they can fill up their water.
Oh, gosh.
They made
we
it look like
we are in trouble if apocalypse comes out here.
They made it look like, did you see that on the news? They made it look like it was crazy. They had people, this water, they had these sisters on there like, oh, this is ridiculous. This water cost is too high. $5.50. And they said people were just running up with 20s, like, give me three bottles. You swear you can only get 3 bottles for $20?
Yeah, there's always going to be that interview. That's the news responsibility, report the drama. We have late breaking news. Word has it there's 75 kittens that have just been loosed from the zoo. Please don't go on Central and Van Buren. Van Buren and Central is a terrible place to go. Could you give me a little note about the kid? Maybe can you get a couple interviews?
And she's standing dead in it, huh?
Brad, are you down on Death Star? Well, right here I'm with somebody who's actually seen 75 cats in their life before. How did that affect you? I was so scared. I mean, once you saw 60 cats run across the street, it just seemed like Now, listen, let me tell you something, people out there. Spade and neuter your cats.
That's the whole thing, huh?
Spade and neuter your cats.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Oh, man.
Man, that just averted an injury. And thanks for that late-breaking, hard-hitting news. You know, it's just all the drama that, man.
All the drama.
Seriously, what's so great about it, I'm glad I know what I know because I don't watch news. I never watch it. That's why it's funny, because I can turn it on and you don't know what day it is, but it doesn't matter because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But do you know how those parents, think how many people be watching news?
That's every, twice a day.
Dude, everybody be walking around here so dang scared of everything, man. I mean, I can see why they're scared of everything. Man,
maybe you might need to watch it a little bit, though, Rob. There's some scary stuff out there.
No, but
because I read a lot of it. I don't really watch the news. But, only reason why I watch the news this time is so I can watch, Air Force One leave our valley.
Hear me, dog. I look on the internet every time I come on MSN.com. What do you think they got there? I can read all about the news.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I watch it too, like Arizona Central. I like to know what's going on locally.
I definitely don't watch Channel 3. They're the worst of everybody. They're the worst. They're the fear-mongering. They're fear-mongers.
Rob, they're our sponsor. I'm just kidding.
I love Channel 3. Channel 3 has been good to me.
Oh, Channel 3. Yeah, we love Channel 3.
No. I can't stand Channel 3. But it's great that you can have your own sports radio show and you can just talk smack about everybody. Don't hurt.
Hey, but did you listen to the – I know you was out there swearing it wasn't hot. I know you was hot and thirsty. You probably was delirious thinking they weren't waving, but they really was waving you down. But did you happen to listen to the speech like the next day?
No.
Dude, it was pretty clever, man. He did some clever things. He poked fun at, them not giving him the honorary degree, and where they say you got to keep working, even where I'm at, I still have goals to accomplish. And I'm going to ask you a question. If you happen to be, I don't even want to say these words.
Okay, then I'll say
if
it.
You happen to be an Arizona State graduate in 2009 and Obama was speaking at your graduation, do you think that would affect you somehow? Would you feel, what kind of motivation would that bring to you, Rob?
I would don't know, but I would think, but if I was, but I wouldn't know, but.
Was that a diss towards me?
No, that was, you said I was an ASU grad. My bad. Can I switch back to
Okay, let's pretend it. What about this topic? Let's say when we graduated at U of A.
Okay.
And Bill Clinton, who was the president at that time, spoke at our, how would that motivated us?
Well, Keith, that's funny you should ask that question. I'd actually feel that would be something that in my life that I would never forget. And I would tell my family and my kids about that I was able to participate in an event such as that with a man who's respected by the name of Bill Clinton, who really did it something special for our country.
And
it's probably one of the best presidents out there.
And by the time when we spoke, it was before the controversy. So it still would have been on up and up.
Well, even before the controversy, I just looked at what this man body of work, what he did for our country.
You know what, dude? That voice remarkably is the best Obama impression you did without doing. Subconsciously.
Can I try it again?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Because you only got about 4 weeks left. I don't know if you've been counting.
Well,
see, there it is. You're trying again. You just talk. Do that other voice.
No. Hold on a little bit. Hold on right there. That was good right there. Because he always says, hold on right there. Me and Hillary Clinton, we had a conversation. And what happened was that we came to a meeting at the mines. No. I'm not saying there won't be problems that we have to go through.
That's good, man.
Okay, so I'm working on that.
Since you're so good, I'm generally enthused. Like, this is making up for all the Twitter stuff I was mad at you about.
Oh, man.
Because right now, can you...
Are we going to twerk it out?
You twerk it out. Brother's going to twerk it out. Brother's going to twerk it out. What I need for you to do is do that Obama voice. Here, you need some inspiration. Do that because you see how you see I got a picture of Obama. See how his face, you got to kind of turn your jaw like that and then it'll come out. But I want you to do the like he's doing the speech to ASU fans. But he's saying, I thought, you know, just be Rob. He's saying at the ASU, throw a little U of A in there, talk trash to ASU, do something. But don't get too crazy with it, man.
First of all, I'd like to thank the dean and everybody who had a hand in me coming out here to Arizona State University. Well, the thing I thought about when I got asked to come out here to Arizona State University was, why didn't I go to the U of A? And I, hold on, wait a minute.
Dude, have you been practicing?
Not at all.
Hey, Mike, is this one of his betters?
I've been inspired by people who've actually went to Arizona State as well as the University of Arizona. My wife, Michelle, with my two beautiful daughters, wanted to come out to University of Arizona. I chose to speak at Arizona State, even though I didn't get the honorary degree. But if there's one thing that I promised the American people was that I would look past situations just as I've asked them to. Now, we could talk specifically about sports. U of A having the quintessential basketball program and Arizona State doing what they can to be successful. So as I leave here tonight and head back in Air Force One.
You so loud, I'm going to bring your echo in.
As your president, want to wish you success, caring, and also in hopes that some of you in this class would help me cut the budget.
Rob, dude, that was inspirational, man. You swear you ain't practiced?
No,
that's
man.
Why you ain't been tweeting. You've been looking at YouTube.
No, man, because Barack. Obama, I was in the aura of Obama.
You was in his president. Dude, I was in the aura of Obama. You was 15 feet away from the man, I president. Was in the,
like, it's kind of like, there's like this, okay, I'm crazy. There's this Bible verse where like God's supposed to walk by Moses, right? And like he walked by him. And then just the fact that he walked by him and like 30 minutes later, Moses was still shining. That's how I feel about Obama. He walked by me and all of a sudden, I mean, I just felt.
The aura. You know who you felt like? You felt like Charlie Murphy when he saw Rick James for the first time.
I felt like
aura was like purple.
I feel like Kunta when he saw Chicken George first time.
Oh yeah.
And Chicken George is like, he's like, man, that's a different cat.
Yeah.
And it changed his life.
But actually Chicken George was Kunta's.
Oh yeah, his uncle.
Son.
Yeah, so.
It's same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same
so,
thing.
Well, so
he was excited. You know, he was excited.
Yeah, it's my daddy.
His daddy.
Yeah, it's my Barack daddy.
That's Barack's daddy. So I appreciate that, man. I haven't been working on. I'm gonna still come with it. I still got the NBA finals to perfect my.
Dude, you know what, man?
No,
if you there. You're going to be there for real, dude. You're going to be there for real.
I just got to do a couple more things.
You know what? There's another one I want you to... man, since we on a roll, can you do Mike Tyson? I'm going to give you an easy one.
I can't do it, Mike Tyson. I've never been able to do it.
Dude, just try.
I can't. No.
Remember I tried to tweet? You told me not to. I did it. I tried it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Am I just performing for you right now? Is that what I'm doing? You want me to put on a little symbol?
Because I got little symbols in my head, a little dunce cap
for my monkey hat, a little tight vest.
Yeah, with some tight shorts. Yeah, you like Sammy Davis Jr.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
You like Sammy Davis Jr. You know, Sammy Davis Jr., you know when they say you the rapper's rapper, I'm a performer's performer?
I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Sammy Davis Jr., I bet you like Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra used to be kicking it like this. Sammy, entertain us.
Sammy, sing one of those songs you sing. Come on, brother.
He's an entertainer's entertainer.
Yeah, he is.
But no, on the Mike Tyson news I was going to bring up, man, I read in MediaTakeOut.com that there was a report from one of Mike Tyson's, I feel like A-Rod right now, A-Rod book right now.
You feel like Selena Roberts?
Selena Roberts.
Okay, go ahead, Selena.
Mike Tyson, there was a plot for Mike Tyson to go after Brad Pitt.
Oh, I see that.
Why, though? Because Brad Pitt and Mike Tyson had competition over a woman. This woman was Robin Givens. So there was reports that Mike Tyson was talking crazy, buying guns, practicing at target ranges, hiring, talking to people about murdering Brad Pitt over Robin Givens. Do you believe?
Back in 88?
Yeah. Yeah, back in 88 when he was with Robin Givens. And Brad Pitt was trying to, you know, he was with Robin Givens. I mean, you know, he had his thing with Robin Givens, too. Mike Tyson.
Holy smokes.
You guys might not have heard that, but that didn't need to be heard by. we could even had members only hear that. That was the most aggressive thing I've ever seen in my life, man. I think I might actually close this show down right now. If I could end it right now, I would.
Hey, dude, whatever you bring on Mike Tyson, stuff like that might happen.
I guess so. You know. I guess so. But, yeah, I believe that. Mike Tyson is crazy, man.
So do you think he honestly had that thought for more than one day?
Let me tell you something. I've had that thought before, okay? And I'm not crazy, okay?
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, I mean, what thoughts have we not had where we just be like, dang, if somebody knew what I thought, I mean, I might not have went and bought the guns, but I've maybe thought about doing something, you know, when you're angry and love and stuff, man, the thin line, there's a thin line. Man, I feel like I'm on Star Search because I've been trying to get 4 1/4 stars for about 3 months now, and I keep singing a song and don't work. But yeah, I believe that Mike Tyson did that, yes.
So, I mean, the celebrity battles, Mike Tyson, Brad Pitt. Obviously, Mike Tyson didn't even need a gun. So I don't even know what he was doing. All he'd do was run up on that man.
It wasn't
Brad Pitt, Fight Club Brad Pitt.
No, but see, let me tell you something. Gun is anger. Gun is serious anger. When you want to shoot somebody, you're beyond angry. If you want to go beat somebody up, there's a difference.
No, dude, if you beat somebody up, that's personal.
No.
And if you Mike Tyson, you walking around like a weapon.
What are you talking about?
Okay, if you beat somebody up or shoot somebody, but if Mike Tyson beats somebody up like Brad Pitt, that's so murder.
Okay, no, but wait a minute. If you're shooting someone with a gun, is your intentions to kill them? Or if you're fighting, is your intentions to kill them? If you're fighting, your intentions aren't necessarily to kill. But if you have a gun, you're not saying, well, I just want to hurt you. It just hit you in your shoulder.
You've seen Harlem Nights when they shot him in the kneecap.
They shot him in the toe.
Yeah.
So
not really.
Okay, but
not
they,
so much.
But they weren't hanging
not
out.
So much.
That was a parallel that didn't work. They weren't hanging out together as buddies. Okay, Mike Tyson's not best friends with Brad Pitt. Hey, shoot him in the toe. Oh, you tripping, Brad. I'll shoot you in the foot. If you're trying to shoot somebody with a gun, your intentions are to kill them. If it's a fight and you run up on somebody and start swinging on them, most likely your intentions are not to kill them. Now, it could be happening in a murder, but 100% of the time, if you have a gun and you want to shoot somebody, are you trying to put them in the hospital or kill them?
I don't know, but if Mike Tyson had Brad Pitt, he would have died.
Man, dude, whatever.
Yeah, dude. Obviously, he's trying to kill him. But obviously, either way,
he's trying to kill him.
Yeah, either way, Mike Tyson didn't have to buy a gun. That's all I know. All right. What about Nick Cannon and Eminem? What would you think they about their little beef? And it's all over the same thing, over a chick.
It always is, man.
I mean, do you have an opinion about that? Do you think they really would fight? Do you think one of them would buy the gun or one of them would put someone in the hospital by beating them up?
No.
It's all talk. Nick Cannon's talking a lot of trash. You heard some of the quotes?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been talking a lot of trash.
But you can always see, he pulled out the line of, you know, he's talking about black girls. We shouldn't let him back in, you know. things like that. You know, of course, I just going to try to separate sides. But, you know, Eminem got, see, the Cannon better watch out, because don't he know that brothers will, the brothers will kill him for Eminem. Yeah, Eminem been around. He don't know how much Eminem and Dr. Dre been around. They got brothers. Eminem got brothers who will murder for him.
Hungry brothers right now.
Yeah, murder they, for him. Yeah.
Like, dude, if you try to get away,
don't you
meal ticket?
You better not say nothing about Nick Cannon.
About Eminem. About Marshall.
Exactly.
You better not say nothing about Marshall.
Mr. Mathers.
Mr. Mathers. Mr. Mather.
You better not say nothing about Mr. Mathers.
You better not say nothing about Mathers.
About my Mathers. but so yeah, dude, I mean, the whole thing is they ain't gonna let him go, man. So man, so anyway, but one thing I want to do, we got to remind you, we're gonna do it every show, June 28th, the benefit golf tournament for Phoenix Children's Hospital. I mean, I'm sorry, Phoenix Public. Well, okay, so just cut this out. June 28th, we have our golf tournament charity event,
Phoenix Public Library.
Thank you, Phoenix Public Library, and we're going to be brought to you. The Atypical Sports Show will be there broadcasting live from our Verve booth. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So make sure you guys go on the website. You can go register for your team. Put your team in there. That way you guys are all set. You'll be talking to us coming by the radio spot. We'll be hooking you guys up with a couple little prizes. We'll have some stuff going on out there. Thanks again for listening to Atypical Sports Show. Key, you got anything to say, man?
Last thing I'm going to say, enjoy these Game 7s. NBA knows how to do it right. We're featuring these Game 7s on Sunday versus these NHL Game 7s that came on the same day at the same time in the middle of the week. So while you're watching the Game 7s, write down your thoughts, tweet us up, email us, because we're going to talk about that like we never talk about anything else come Wednesday show. It's the E-Miraculous Show. Wacky Wednesdays, fan interaction.
You did not just say Wacky Wednesdays.
Wacky Wednesdays.
You're wacky.
Nah, we out of here, man. We love y'all. Typical Sports Show. We out.
Drop with the soft, so boys get fresh. Should be on my head. How you feel?